was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brad Powers with us Fridays. BradPowersSports.com will let you know how you can get all of his information. Good morning, Brad. How you doing?
Excellent. How you doing on a fine Friday?
First question. Here's a good one. PTSLAX says, ask Brad, season win total for Purdue now that Rondell Moore is back, and comment on the QB at Purdue if you could. But how much does that move the needle, the Rondell Moore news?
As far as the season went, I mean, I can tell you from a point spread aspect, I mean, he's going to move it probably a point, point and a half. That's when you add it up through the course of a season win total, then maybe a half win or so for Purdue. I see their season win totals like 3.5. I got to be perfectly frank. I haven't gone through the Big Ten season win totals yet just because there's games going on.
Right.
And to be perfectly honest with everyone out there that's looking to bet season win totals, I mean, if you're that confident they're going to play all their games, I mean, more power to you. I mean, my expectation is almost every season win total is going to be I would say no action, because I just don't think they're going to be able to play all the games on schedule. And that's just the reality that with 20-plus games already postponed and canceled, I'm not sure that a lot of these bets are going to actually go through. And it's unfortunate because I think there are some good bets out there. Quarterback position, again, I haven't really gone through and seen what they got a month of practice for that to figure out. I think they're in pretty good shape. They're certainly better than what they were a year ago after the injuries and whatnot. And I pretty much trust Brom that he'll be able to get some production out of that position. But we'll see. I mean, I know a lot of people are excited about the Big Ten. We got 4 weeks of practices for them to shake things out. And in the meantime, I got 4 weeks of games to handicap and bet.
Now, just for everybody, back to your win total topic. Most of the sports book have this rule in place, which says if you bet the win total and one game gets canceled, then that whole bet is null and void, right?
Exactly.
So you're saying, what's the point?
So 1 out of 10 aren't going to get canceled. I mean, I think that's very realistic that'll be the case. And the other issue, there's not a single book in Vegas that's offering. I know Bet Online has them. I'll be anxious to. I'll do a little bit more legwork today and look and see if there's some Jersey books, and maybe I'll find one or two that I think there's valuable. But again, nobody in Vegas has them, and I don't see the point of them this year. I don't think a lot of them are going to get what we call in the industry graded wins and losses. It's going to be all no action.
Johnny Vegas down on the Emerald Coast says, "Give BP, as in Brad, a shout out." He says, "I had Miami last night based on his write-up on his weekly newsletter." Brad?
Yeah, and I just thought the line, I mean, it's not like it was a strong play or anything, but I just thought there was a little bit of line overreaction. There's what we call in the industry a look-ahead line for the NFL, where right now, New England plays the Kansas City Chiefs next week. I can bet that game right now. The Chiefs are favored by 7.5. What I like to look at, I don't necessarily bet the look-ahead line, but I like to see if there's overreaction from after the games are played. And the Miami-Jacksonville game was pick 'em, the look-ahead line. I mean, Miami, covered a game but didn't win it. Jacksonville covered a game, didn't win it, and yet we saw a three-point line move. I thought overreaction, and the NFL is the overreaction league, and nice little winner last night.
Rob in the 210. Ask Brad about the low total on the Vanderbilt Aggies game. He says A&M's favored by double digits, minus 30, but the total is 46.
Yeah, so when I saw something like that, I mean, that's just something you don't see every day. And I was curious to see what's the trend line with that. Nothing really particularly to the spread. It was like, you know, the favorite with a big spread and a low total was like 52%. So nothing big there. But what I did find interesting was the over. So here's what I looked up. So anytime a team's laying more than four touchdowns and the total's less than 50, the over is 62% against the spread. And we're talking like a 200-game sample size there, so that's pretty significant. Over 62% when you got a big favorite and a low total. And specifically with this game, when you got a 30 or more point favorite and a total less than 47, the over 68%. So seeing that different subset as far as a trend line, I would lean over in the Vandy A&M game.
That 30, you've always stressed. I'm not in the business of laying a whole bunch of points here. What about that one?
I'd lean Vandy, and I'm not a fan of Vandy. In fact, I mean, in my newsletter, you know, about a month ago, when I did had some extra time to break down some season totals and whatnot, I mean, I projected Vanderbilt to go 0-10. I mean, I got them and the Commodores a double-digit underdog in every game. But with that being said, you know, I have been a huge fan of A&M's of what's happened at least there in the last month. I mean, they've had four projected starters opt out, including their leading wide receiver. I'm not sure they're going to be ready to cover 30.5 in a season opener. So I'm going to lean on Vanderbilt there plus the points.
Brad, you just answered a question that was going to be my next question. So I'll ask it even though you just gave us the numbers. How many games in Vanderbilt's 10-game regular season schedule would they be only a single-digit underdog in? And you just answered.
Zero. Yep, zero. And not just, you know, 10. I mean, I'm closer to at least a two-touchdown underdog in every single game this year. So, you know, even, you know, taking the win, you know, because you can't say zero for everyone. So, I mean, typically, you know, Vanderbilt's got a 5, 10% chance in a lot of those games. So when you add that up, maybe somewhere, mathematically speaking, they can, you know, find a win, but again, I don't see a particular game where I give them a decent shot of winning it. So, yeah, I think the Commodores are heading at the very least at 1-9, but I'm thinking 0-10 this year.
All right. I know we don't have the entire history of college football A to Z in front of us. Well, it's in front of us, but it would require a lot of digging. I'm just asking in general. Can you think of another year, maybe a Kansas or something, where a team would be, and again, that would be Kansas also playing non-conference games, so you try and schedule a winner in there somewhere, but a team where if you look at their schedule, they'd be a double-digit underdog in every game?
No, because of the non-conference.
Yeah.
Like UTEP plays a couple FCS opponents. They've been historically bad here recently. But they've always had those games. You mentioned Kansas always has a game against an FCS opponent, usually to open up the season. I mean, in conference play, the answer would, if it was just, you know, strictly conference, then I'm sure I could find a year where Kansas has been that instance. But, no, not every game in their schedule, double-digit underdog.
Wow.
I mean, maybe going way back, Northwestern,
yeah,
like early 80s, and maybe that's a team that comes to mind.
Mr. LC. Ask Brad, he says, I was dumpster diving, and I'm wondering Brad's thoughts on ULM versus UTEP.
And that would be the definition of dumpster diving. Of the teams that are playing right now, they are the two worst teams in my power ratings. And yet, to show you how bad UTEP is, UL Monroe is a double-digit favorite. They're laying anywhere from 9.5 to 10 here. I would lean over in this one, and I don't like really either the side. I mean, I guess if you're telling me I can get 10, if it goes to 10.5, I would actually lean UTEP. But I'll lean over. I mean, UL Monroe, I think, will get their offense a little bit in gear here. UTEP's been okay. Again, I don't see a lot of significant value either side or total here.
Steven in Louisiana, ask Brad, scale of 1 to 10, how confident is he on LSU minus 16.5 against Mississippi State?
One, LSU minus 16.5 would be where I would bet, but I mean, confidence level would be a one. I'm not confident in the game whatsoever, other than, you know what, I'm confident, I bet the over on Sunday, but the total at that time was 48 and now it's 57. So, I mean, I'm going to sit back and relax and hopefully catch that bet. That'll be probably the only bet I have on that game. And the reason being, I just way too much uncertainty. LSU from a returning production, a couple new coordinators for them. And then obviously Mississippi State dramatically changing up their offense with Mike Leach, new quarterback. To me, it's just not a game I can bet. I know a lot of people want to take Mississippi State. I think they're underestimating a little bit the talent level that's remaining at LSU, in my opinion. Again, bet the over on Sunday. That's what I bet. And that's the only bet I anticipate having until that game kicks off.
And you're saying since Sunday, that line has moved. The total has moved 9 points.
Yeah, it was a bad opening number. And, in my newsletter, I post all those bets. I'd love to give out those bets that I make there each week, but the lines move so quick, it's just one book. I mean, life would be a lot easier if I could give those picks out, those bets out each week, and everybody could bet them. But, I bet over 48.5 Mississippi State LSU, and right now it looks like total sitting 56.5, 57. So about a touchdown plus of line value there.
All right. I think we've discussed this, but it bears repeating for the audience. In the world of stocks, there's a rule, and that's don't chase. If there's a signal to buy some stock at, like, let's just say $100, Brad, and you get this report, Brad Powers of the stock market says buy XYZ at $100. You see it 10 minutes later, it's already 120. The market, people are jumping on there. There's a line of thinking. One is FOMO, fear of missing out, right? So I'll buy it because it's going to go up so high anyways. What difference does 100 or 120 make? And then you get burned. Don't chase a stock. If you don't get your number, wait either for the number or move on without it. Don't chase it. In the world of betting, Brad, when you bet, let's say you get that 47 on the over. If you were to put that out and the market starts moving, I'm assuming your advice to people listening is don't chase it. If it leaves you, just move on, correct?
Absolutely. That would certainly be my advice. And, you know, the three previous years to this year, and I did it, you know, not only did I sell a little report, it's called the Wise Guys Report. So I tracked everything, betting percentages, you know, big money moves, big line moves and whatnot. And I had a section in there called, you know, steam chasing, which is mean, you know, chasing, you know, some of the bigger moves. And I graded those bets on what they were on Friday after the line moves, what happens with these games. And there was nothing significant. We're talking like 51%, 53%, you know, several hundred game sample size NFL and college football over 3 years, and it was not profitable. So my advice on chasing after a big move, don't do it. And if anything, sometimes there's overreactions. And if anything, I would say maybe that there might be, if it really moves, and everybody, because there is that phenomenon that everybody jumping on it, in some instances, I would fade it more often than not. But if you don't want to get too technical, I would just say stay away.
More, Brad, as we continue. Next question is from Dan about Iowa State TCU. That'll be when we come back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still moving right along at this point here on the South Loop. The West Loop traffic's a little bit busy there. 65 South at Trinity Lane as they wrap up that wreck. OHB at Highway 100 out on the west side, and also putting the final touches on that crash. 24 eastbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world.
Hola, encantada. ¿Cómo te llamas?
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just text PRACTICE to 484848 and start learning a new language today. That's PRACTICE to 484848. PRACTICE to 484848.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings, also the Bear Bowls burger, and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick picked up his ninth win of the season at Bristol this past weekend. Up next is the next round of the playoffs starting at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. A slight chance of showers, high 77. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 63. Patchy fog tomorrow, high 83. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 64. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Got biscuits? Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Dan on Twitter, ask Brad to explain the severe line movement in the Iowa State TCU game.
So it's not as complicated as what it seems. So, you know, on Sunday, Iowa State opened up an underdog. In my opinion and the market's opinion, that was a bad number. Iowa State should be favored. So Iowa State went from anywhere from +3 to +2.5, all the way up to -5, a 5-point favorite. So you saw a touchdown line move. Then what happened, also early in the week, TCU quarterback Max Duggan, who was expected to be out for a significant period of time, was ruled that he was going to be available to play. Now, he's not going to start, and you know, so and that's where I think there's going to be some value here. But you know, that line came back down even through a key number with his availability now going from not available to available. Line moved back down 2.5 points through a key number of 3. Iowa State from 5 to -2.5, and that's where we pretty much have stood here for the last several days. Now, I think there's some mispricing going on, and I like Iowa State, and I'm Bob Steakhouse, Iowa State here. I mean, I don't know how effective Max Duggan's going to be. I'm okay with a three-point line move. That would be if he's 100% healthy and he was going to start and play a majority of the game. I would be fine with that. This line would be fine if that was the case. I'm not sure that's the case. He's not going to start. I'm not sure how much he's going to play, how effective he's going to be, how much practice time he's missed. On top of that, Iowa State's owned TCU since Matt Campbell got there. 4-0 against the spread. Average cover by 11 points per game. And I don't think Iowa State's as bad as what people are making out the Cyclones to be. Misleading final in the loss against Louisiana Lafayette. They got a game under their belt advantage in looking at the matchup here because this is TCU's season opener. And then also, I love Gary Patterson. He's a Hall of Famer. But the reality is the last 4 years, he's terrible against the spread. 36% against the spread. Only Arizona and UCLA are worse among Power 5 teams against the spread the last 4 years. So add all up for me at the 2.5 number, Iowa State, Bob Steakhouse.
The Florida State-Miami game, might as well get to it. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't see a tremendous amount of value here. I'm not really particularly wanting to lay 11 with Miami wives. You know, only the second time they've been laying this kind of number in the series in the last, you know, almost 20 years. You got to go back to 2002. And the other time they laid this kind of number was the last time they played Florida State here, and they easily could have lost outright as a two-touchdown favorite. I know there's a lot of issues going on with Florida State right now. You know, Mike Norvell's not going to coach. I think it's about worth about a point or so to the line there. And they just didn't look very good against Georgia Tech. Meanwhile, Miami's kind of the flavor of the month. In some instances, deservedly so. But, you know, I certainly think if they go out and blow Florida State out, that they'll certainly get overpriced in the marketplace as far as I'm concerned. It's right near my number. It's an underdog series. The underdogs covered 12 of the last 15 matchups. I just didn't get involved, Bill.
Where do you have UCF power rated, first of all, nationally? And I'm assuming, maybe wrong here, you've got them power rated better than anybody else in Florida. Yes or no? Including the Gators?
No. Gators would still be favored on a neutral, probably about a six-point favorite over UCF. Okay. I have UCF 12th nationally. But you know, I got Florida fifth, so that would be it. I still would have UCF ahead of Miami by a couple of points. I think that may surprise people. But, yep, 12. That's pretty high for a power rating.
It is.
5 team.
That's very good. Shannon in South Bend, how much does weather impact the line and or the total for a game?
Depends on how bad the weather is. I've seen totals move 2 touchdowns. If it's significant wind more than rain than anything, and depends on the snow. And sometimes, you know, snow can create confusion defensively, and it's better to know where you're running offensively. But, yeah, I've seen 2 touchdown moves with weather. And I would say with totals, especially any wind above 15 mile an hour, and especially when you get in the 20 mile an hour range, I mean, even that's one, if you want to chase, that is one where it's, you know, still profitable to chase. If you're waking up on game day, you see some bad weather, significant wind or rain, then it's okay to chase those moves, even after they move 3, 4, 5, 6 points, because I don't think the market ever properly prices some of those totals.
The Notre Dame team that's not playing on Saturday, does that affect anything, just the postponement of that game? They're going to play December 12th. And did you come out of the USF game, a team that's obviously not very good, more impressed with the Irish?
You know, certainly I did. I mean, anytime you cover a point spread by 4 touchdowns, I mean, you got to upgrade a team's power rating. And, you know, it was pretty efficient. I don't care who you're playing. I mean, that looked like a pretty well-oiled machine. And hardly any penalties. I thought play calling was really good offensively. Clean tackling. I mean, that looked like a legitimate top-10 football team, what we saw on last Saturday. In fact, I upgraded Notre Dame's power rating as far as where they're at nationally. With the teams that are currently playing, I would have them 7. But, you know, I whenever you're getting rolling like that, I think a bye week's a negative. So what'll probably end up happening by the time Notre Dame plays Florida State here in a couple weeks, probably would downgrade Notre Dame a point or so, just because those players are going to miss practice time. And again, you know, anytime a team's kind of getting their legs under them, and then you have a bye week, I don't think that's a positive.
West Coast Sooner, do you think that Baby Kiff comes out and upsets the Gators? How cool would it be week one of the SEC for that to happen?
I'm leaning that way. I don't have a big bet just because I'm worried about these first-year coaches this year in particular. And I tweeted this out. If you're betting against first-year coaches, against them on an early number, an opening number, I mean, you're 12-3 against the spread. Just fading the first-year coaches so far this season. There's been a couple of significant line moves because I think a lot of people want to fade these first-year coaches where maybe you got a couple covers in the end. But still, it's not good. And, you know, this is one instance where, you know, I agree with the market. There's been a little bit of money coming out on Ole Miss. I mean, you could have gotten 14.5 at a couple places early in the week, and that's through a relatively key number of 14. Now it's like 13.5, 14. Not as much value, but I'd certainly lean with the Rebels. I think of all the first-year coaches, at least in the SEC, I think Lane Kiffin inherited the best. I would say even the best talent and the best opportunity to at least make a run for a bowl.
G on Twitter, please ask Brad about MTSU UTSA tonight. Any value in that game?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I've downgraded Middle Tennessee more than any team in the country so far this season. I'm not sure that it's enough. The money is really coming on the over. I agree with it. I think UTSA is running a lot more tempo this year offensively. They got a dynamic quarterback by the name of Frank Harris, dual threat. It's going to give Middle Tennessee some fits. But I also expect Middle Tennessee's offense to maybe have a little bit of a breakout game. For you old timers that listen to this segment, John Daly's Pizza. So this is $5, $10 type of bets on the over.
Brad with us, bottom of the hour break. Brad, tell everybody how they can get your information.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. You can download all past issues of my newsletter. Let's talk about that newsletter. You get a weekly write-up on every single college game, whether it's UTEP and UL Monroe, or it's the Crimson Tide of Alabama, you get it. Also the NFL, also top picks of the week. Those picks are off to a 70% start. That's unsustainable moving forward, but it is nice to get off to a decent start here in 2020. Don't buy it for the picks, though. Buy it for the info. $79 for the entire season. Go to BradPowerSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
More Brad as we continue. Use the hashtag AskBP on Twitter. We'll get the questions to him. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's looking a little bit better here on 24 eastbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway from that earlier crash in the construction zone. Lindell at Wedgewood, that was a stalled vehicle block in traffic a few minutes ago, wrapping up that crash at OHB at Highway 100. Out on the west side, we've seen some radar out here this morning. Slow it down. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. It kicks off today, runs through November 1st. All the details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea market.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com. Nashville's premier steakhouse is Bob's Steak and Chop House in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bob's Steak and Chop House was the first to bring A5 Wagyu beef to Music City. With a wine list to complement any meal, Bob's Steak and Chop House now has limited summer hours and seating. With the backdrop of Music City, call ahead and reserve your spot on the patio. Bob's Steak and Chop House, now with new limited summer hours and seating. Nashville's premier steakhouse, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown Music City.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spears.
And we invite you to listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the 9th season of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores from the previous night. Shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach. Feature a Prep Legend of the Week and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, is also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Nissan of Cool Springs and Hyundai of Cool Springs, My Team Insurance, and Sam Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8, right here on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Brad with us, BradPowerSports.com. Royal Payne on Twitter says, Brad, I feel Arkansas will play ground and pound enough. Georgia's offense will be clunky enough for the 28.5 to be a huge number. I see about a 28-10 win or so. Brad, what do you say?
I agree with that. So, I mean, you'll never hear me say this too often, but I think there's some correlation there. If you're looking, and I get it, everybody wants to bet these parlays, but they want to parlay their top picks of the week every week, and it's just, you know, really bad bets in my opinion, but, you know, to teach his own. But in this instance, if you're looking to bet that way, and if you think the game's going to go that way, and I happen to agree with it, this is one where I think there's some correlation and you can make some extra money, is correlating Arkansas plus 28 and also under 52.5 makes a lot of sense to me. And it's something that I'm also going to play for a little bit myself personally. I don't agree with the line move here with Georgia getting all the money up to 28. And I just – I do some totals, and I can't see how the total gets to 52.5. So dog and under for me. I'm not saying a big bet, but certainly a correlated parlay there.
We'll stay with that same thing, the Alabama-Missouri game. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, don't see as much correlation here with Alabama favored by 28, your total 56. It's getting to the point where it's pretty close to my numbers. I mean, I did bet – you talk about an early week number. I bet Alabama minus 21. I really love that bet. Yeah, I like that. I can't fade Nick Saban in an opener, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Missouri's got value even after a big move, just because Saban is 12-1 against the spread in season openers, and he's covering them by 9 points per game. And, you know, if people don't know the history, it's not like he's playing, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor in the School of the Hope and the Blind, because, I mean, it's Florida State, it's Clemson, it's Virginia Tech, Michigan, USC, Wisconsin, and he's winning these games by significant margins, and Saban's covering these games. And now you got a first-year coach in a pandemic in Missouri. So I would still lean Roll Tide, minus 28. Really not a strong opinion on the total.
Brad Powers, BradPowersSports.com joins us. Yeah, that's Alabama right out of the chute. And I guess my next question, you've mentioned quite a few times today Sunday bets, and not that that's new for you. I know it's not. But are you discovering, Brad, more Sunday mistakes that you can take advantage of than previous?
There was this week, and I don't know, maybe the B team came up with the lines, meaning, you know, because so much is going on in the sports world, they didn't have the A team coming up with them. But I thought at the particular book that I bet with, Circa Sports, the lines were a little bit off this week. I haven't, in previous weeks, I haven't seen them off as much. But with that being said, let me give some credit to them because I tweeted this out. Last week, the lines that moved three or more points off the openers went 5-11 against the spread. So all that money that went against them, they profited. They had a big week. It's one of the reasons why I didn't have a winning week last week in college. A lot of those big moves did not come through.
Yeah, that Tulane Navy game was just crazy, right? Betting wise and outcome wise, it's 24-0. Looks like it's going to be another BYU game, and then it just reversed. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and I took, and deservedly so, I took a lot of flack on Twitter because I gave out, you know, on Twitter when it was 7-0. I mean, I said, hey, this looks like BYU all over again after the first couple possessions. So I bet at that point you could bet in-game live, and I recommended Tulane minus 13.5. Hey, when it was 24-0 at halftime, it looked really good. In fact, that line at halftime was Tulane minus 26.5. And look, last I checked, Navy's not pass happy. I mean, there's a reason why they don't have a lot of big comebacks in the history of Navy football, but kudos to the Middies. They pulled off the biggest comeback in the history of Navy football. They win the game outright. I would say it's one of the more stunning come-from-behind wins, considering what we had seen from Navy at that point in the season, where forget scoring. I mean, they were struggling, Bill, to get a first down and literally couldn't stop anybody offensively. I mean, the cumulative score was 79-3 of their season at that point. And I get it. The service academies never give up. And that's what a lot of people were getting on me on Twitter. Where were you for the BYU game? I mean, because 55-3, I mean, I know they didn't give up in that game, but the reality is maybe Navy wasn't a good football team. Stunning result. I'm still stunned by it, though. I'm not sure we'll get a more stunning result this entire football season.
Nathan up in Michigan. Good morning, guys. Ask Brad his thoughts on Texas versus Texas Tech. He asks, is the over in play here?
Well, the market agrees with the over because, I mean, it's been bet up to 70.5, 71. I would lean more that way than anything. I just don't feel like laying 17.5 on the road with Texas here early in the season. I know Texas Tech looked really bad. And how bad did Texas Tech look? I mean, Texas Tech almost suffered one of the biggest outright upsets in the history of college football. 40-point favorite against Houston Baptist. And they probably should have lost the game. Houston Baptist was at the goal line a couple times and came away with nothing. So Texas Tech's been ravaged by COVID, and during fall camp, Texas hasn't. But I think, to me at least, it looks like it's priced in line with Texas' 17.5-point favorite. Sure, why not? I'll lean over. Texas offense is going to have a lot of success. Texas Tech will be able to move the football. Over 71 would be my lean there.
In the SEC and all these debuts, is the Tennessee-South Carolina game the most contested, the most even?
Yeah, from a point spread perspective, it certainly is, with the point spread being Tennessee, a 3.5-point road favorite. That game and also the Kentucky-Auburn game where that point spread 7.5, I think are at least on paper heading into it, the most competitive affairs that we'll have in the SEC tomorrow.
And Tennessee on the road in that game, is that a dangerous opener for them?
I expect them to win. I'm not anxious to lay the 3.5, though, on the road.
Right.
Bill, I just did not a high-value pick for me. I can tell you the market really took advantage and bet the under. I mean, the total's down to 43.5. You could have gotten under 48 early in the week, widely available, not just like one type of book. So I agree with that move. I don't anticipate me personally having a bet there.
And give us some thoughts on that Kentucky at Jordan-Hare game at Auburn.
You know what? I do have a bet on this one, and it's on Kentucky. It's maybe not as strong as the Bob Steakhouse on Iowa State, but it's close. And I like the Wildcats there plus a 7.5 because it's just – that rare instance where, I'm not even sure I could count on one hand, meaning maybe it's never been done before, where Kentucky has the advantage, in my opinion, at the line of scrimmage over Auburn. I mean, offensive line, Kentucky might have a top five unit in the entire country against an Auburn defensive line that's going to be good, but certainly not as great as what they were a year ago when they had a couple of high draft picks on that defensive line. And it's early in the season, and especially with Auburn's offensive line that has to replace four starters. So in the trenches, and again, I can't ever recall me thinking that Kentucky has the advantage here over a team like Auburn, but they do this year. And also mispricing for me at the quarterback spot for Kentucky. I get it. They lost a tremendous athlete in Lynn Bowden. But, I mean, Terry Wilson started for him in 2018 when he led him to 10 wins. So I don't think he's a terrible quarterback. So I think it's a very competitive game, especially getting what we call in the industry the hook, that half point around a key number. I'll take the Wildcats plus 7.5.
Couple of league notes. Pac-12 on Thursday met. The reports are that they agreed to a 7-game schedule. Two of those games would be interleague, meaning across divisions, if you will. And then they'll have a Pac-12 championship game at the location of the team that's got the higher winning percentage. That won't be enough to get in the playoffs, though, will it?
No, I don't think so.
Unless other leagues lose games.
Yeah, got to be unbeaten. I think at one loss, everybody, they're out. So, I mean, and even if they're unbeaten, I don't think it's fully a guarantee. It better be a team that doesn't have 3-4 wins by a field goal. It'd have to be a team that won all 7 of those games by double digits. So, yeah, I guess they're playing, in my opinion, for the Rose Bowl. They're just playing it to play games. And kudos for them for, you know, late to the party, but better late than never.
The Mountain West apparently heading the same way, and the MAC, Brad, votes today. And I know you're excited about that because that could be some Tuesday night action for you.
Yeah, hopefully. You know? We'll see what they end up doing. But, yeah, right. With everyone back, I mean, I'm ecstatic because, more games to bet, more opportunities to win. So, I'm happy. We all knew that spring wasn't going to work. All that talk was, all talk. Let's put it that way. Although I am excited, hopefully FCS can make that work because there'll be some betting opportunities there in the spring.
Now, I know we're not going to be talking bowl games anytime soon on the show. We got a season to get through, but there is a rule that apparently is going to be adopted for this year. And that news came out on Wednesday, that says you don't have to win a game to get into a bowl game. So my question to you is, and you'll have months to worry about this, but how will that be when you're betting? I mean, will that make it easier, harder, or is that unclear?
Unclear. I'm anxious to see if there's going to be conference tie-ins and what for these bowls are. Just going to be a draft. I mean, just take whoever. I mean, that'll be interesting. So I would like to see the draft for 1 year. I mean, I'm just using this as an example. Yeah, USC's 2-5, but, you know, they got the name brand. They'll have the TV money. Let's take USC in a bowl game. So I would actually like to see something like that. But we'll see. To be determined.
Brad, tell everybody one more time out the door how they can get your info.
BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab at the top of the page. The newsletter, $79 for the entire season. College, pro, write-ups every game, picks of the week, $79. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Awesome stuff. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, Bill.
There you go. Brad Powers with us every Friday handicapping. We're on the eve of another college football Saturday. Also the eve of the SEC debut. Very exciting times we are in. We'll get the break. One more here on this Friday edition. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's looking a little bit better here on 24 eastbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway from that earlier crash in the construction zone. Lindell at Wedgewood, that was a stalled vehicle block in traffic a few minutes ago, wrapping up that crash at OHB at Highway 100. Out on the west side, we've seen some radar out here this morning. Slow it down. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. It kicks off today, runs through November 1st. All the details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Blood wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. A slight chance of showers, high 77. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 63. Patchy fog tomorrow, high 83. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 64. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Looking at the markets here, red. It's been choppy, but red. Right now, going more red as I sit here doing the show. Been choppy. Yeah, been volatile, choppy, however you want to describe it. I believe Tesla is around 400 again. Again, I saw somebody post that. I'm not looking, so don't hold me to that. Yeah, don't swear by me on that one. Good three segments there with Brad Powers. Fridays, he's with us. Oh, good to have back Kevin Hagan. Kevin rejoined us for the first time in many months. Today he'll be joining us every Friday, top of hour number two, to talk Alabama, and we'll see how the season circumnavigates. Once again, another really, really talented team. Some tough spots on the schedule, like Georgia and Alabama don't play all that often regular season. They will this year. And that one will be a fun one to dissect as we approach it. This weekend, a pretty good slate of game. SEC is back. Notre Dame not playing. That Wake Forest game was postponed due to testing results at Notre Dame. That also caused USF to halt things, the team that Notre Dame just played. Pac-12 apparently marching towards a reopen. The date is a week later. Or two, actually 2 weeks later than the Big Ten. Big Ten's back, what, 23, 24, right in there, October. And what we're hearing is the Pac-12 is talking, what, November the 7th? So 2 weeks. 2 weeks later. really, as we mentioned, the Pac-12, although they say they're synced up with the playoffs, they are going to need some help from the other leagues. And here's what they need to happen. I know this sounds bad. They need the other leagues to lose some games. Now, when I say lose some games, I don't mean necessarily lose the game. I mean not play the game. I should be better wording it than that. The Pac-12 needs the Big Ten, SEC, et cetera, ACC, to get games that are canceled, don't get replayed. So the numbers are somewhat even. Now, again, they don't have to be perfectly even, but if you've got one league playing 6 or 7 and the other one playing 10, that's not going to work. If it's 8 or 9, heck, the committee hadn't cared about that in the past. When it comes to league games, they haven't. Yeah, SEC only plays 8. That's been the case. But if it's a decent-sized disparity, so the Pac-12 right now, even though they say they're synced up, they're going to play their Pac-12 championship game prior to the committee release of the 4 teams in the playoff. That is December 20th, the release. The Pac-12 championship game right now was December 18th, and it will be at the school that's got the higher winning percentage. It'll be on a campus, or if you are UCLA and USC, it's not on campus, but you know what I mean. The home team's facility, whatever that might be, whether it's the LA Coliseum or the Rose Bowl, one of the two. Mac votes today, and Noel Camp pointed that out to us earlier. Mountain West looks like they're marching in the right direction to play. So the positivity meter right now looks pretty good. Again, there can be and will be some obstacles. There will be some cancellations or some postponements. We're already seeing that. Assume that we're going to get a little bit more of that. We're getting it in some of the high schools too. Oh, Metro 615. Starts back tonight, but nobody's allowed. This is how silly our local... At least they're getting to play. I'll give you that. But even the parents can't be at the game. Yeah. Your senior year, and due to just rotten Nashville politics, the parents can't be at the game. Yeah, the parents can be around them anywhere else because it would be, quote, their parents, but they can't be at the game. Nashville is something else, man. Something else. I'm in Wilco. Yeah, parents are allowed at the games in Wilco. That's what we've been going. This is week number 5. Now, I don't know if I'm going tonight because the game is way. It's 2 hours. In Clarksville, and I can monitor things here. Probably find the game on YouTube, too. So, I don't know that I'll be out and about. Royal Pain. Bill, say UCF is 11-0. Big Ten champ has one loss. Is there any chance? I don't think so. Yeah, they're not taking a... one-loss Ohio State. They're not taking UCF over a one-loss Ohio State. I don't see any way that's possible. Now, there are scenarios that maybe they get in. Yeah, I'm not saying there's no scenario. The one you just presented me, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. And again, I know people don't want to hear this, but branding, your brand matters. The committee will never, ever admit that, but it matters. Your brand, don't tell me that an Alabama Notre Dame brand is treated equally as to a comparison with UCF. It's just not, okay? Branding matters. Fair or unfair, judge it how you choose, but it matters. It always has. And they tried to tell us during the BCS, oh, it's just, well, a lot of computers, yes. But branding does carry weight. At Crazy Charlie 615 on Twitter. Follow him. I'm looking at the markets. Choppy, choppy, choppy. All red, though. NASDAQ teetering, trying to, oh, just turned green. Just turned red. That's how quick this is happening, everybody. Yeah, choppy, choppy, choppy. I'll deal with all that when we get off air here momentarily. Oh, NASDAQ back green. I know you're just riveted in the play-by-play of that. At Crazy Charlie 615, Monday we'll have results, SEC games, and all the others to unpack and talk about. Can't wait. Mondays, no guesting, strictly enforced, just you and I and the arena of ideas and the beautiful world of college football. I absolutely love it. At Bill is King on Twitter. Good to have back Kevin Hagan. Absolutely. Good to have him back. And, of course, Brad was outstanding as always on Friday's handicapping all the games. Have a good one. Lodge Pop.